Okay, so we got to the top of Chaf Zayin and Aleph yesterday. I'm not sure you got there, Harry.
About a paragraph short, basically.
Okay. So we made it to three lines on the top, Darish Bar Kapara. So the Gemara had been talking about which is has more Kedusha, the base Medrash versus the base Knesset. Continuing this discussion, the Bar Kapara makes the following drasha. You go to Pasuk at the end of Melachim Beis, where it's discussing the Nevuzradon, who was burning the base Mikdash. And Yerushalayim, so the pasuk describes it by Yisrof es Beis Hashem, and he burnt Beis Hashem, ves Beis Hamelach, the palace, ves kol bat Yerushalayim, all the houses of Yerushalayim, ves kol Beis Gadol. So Sarah Beish, and he burnt all these things. So what exactly do these different these different basim refer to? So the Gemara says Beis Hashem ze Beis Hamikdash, Beis Hamelach elu paltarim shamelach. These are the palaces of the king. And ves kol bat Yerushalayim kimashman, in the simple understanding, which means the houses of Yerushalayim. Ves kol beis gadol sarf peish. So what's that last beis gadol referring to? We already spoke about the beis mikdash. We already discussed the palace, and we already discussed the houses of Yerushalayim. So what's beis gadol? So Rabbi Yochanan Yeshua ben Levi had a machlokas. Chadamar makom shemegadlin bo Torah. Chadamar makom shemegadlin bo Tefila. One is a place where you raise, you elevate, you elaborate on the Torah. One's where it's a megadil and Tefila. So Mandamar Torah, the one that says is Megadil, but Torah, that's why it's called Beis Gadol. Tichsev Hashem Chavetz Laman Sidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. So Yagdil, famous pasuk, we know that your Yagdil, the pasuk invokes this pasuk sometimes. Then we'll have a discussion and go back and forth and have a very lengthy discussion. Then we'll want to know why does it go so have such a lengthy discussion. The Torah, the Gemara says, because Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. It's good to just elaborate, and the more Torah, the better. So that's how we see Lashon of Yagdil. That's why it's called Beis Gadol. Now, Mandamar Tefila, the one that refers to it, Beis Gadol refers to a shul, a place of davening, Dichsiv Safra Na Hagedolos, and they told over all the great things, Asher Asa Elisha, the wonderful things and great things that Elisha did. So what were the good, big things that Elisha did? Elisha David B'Rachmehu David. So Elisha was known to do things with the power of Tefila. He wasn't, he learned, but his koch was more so in the Tefila than in the Talmud Torah. So when we say Gedolos of Elisha, it was referring to Tefila. So we see Tefila is referred to as Davar Beis Gadol. Gemara concludes Tistayim Derbi Shuben Levi who Damar Makum Shemegadlin Botorah. So Gemara said it's above. That's Machlokas Bishuben Levi B'Yochanan. We weren't sure who said which. Who said Torah was Beis Gadol? Who said Tefillah was Beis Gadol? And the Gemara wants to conclude now that Rabbi Shuben Levi is the opinion that thinks that's the Beis Medrash that's called the Makum Shemegadlin Botorah. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that Damar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Mot Lasos Bo, Beis Medrash. You could turn over a shul into Beis Medrash. Shma Mina, that Beis Medrash has a higher level than that of a shul, according to Rabbi Shuben Levi. So he therefore is the one who explains above that the word Beis HaGadol refers to Beis Medrash as well.
Who said that there were about the tefillah during the Sanhedrin of HaMikdash?
Why do we say that there wasn't? We had Nochana davened. Tefillah existed.
This was around Yerushalayim. People went to daven to the Beis Hamikdash in general.
No? Every single day, yeah. I mean, it was probably quite the trip.
There wasn't chiyuv of tefillah. There was kabbana in those days. They just had to say Shema.
There was kabbana. There is a mitzvah derais of tefillah, according to most poskim. The only question is whether it's once a day or three times a day. That's the debate between the Rambam.
But it wasn't. It was the Knesset.
I get this would be a riot. I mean, I guess this would be the source that existed. We know they had.
Never heard of that. It's funny.
Okay. I never thought about that. They wouldn't have it, I guess. But you know, we also know they had.
Never thought that they would or they wouldn't.
I never even thought about the question. To even if you asked me the question before I read this, were there shuls? I don't know what I would answer. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know any of the sources.
No, I would have said no. Okay.
So.
Okay.
But you know, they had. I know they had Batei Medrash. We see them the base Medrash of Shem Ve'Aver existed.
This is actually the Korban Arishan because it was the Nebuchadnezzar. Right.
And there's Elisha. Elisha is one of the earlier Nevi'im also.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I would never have thought otherwise. I guess I wouldn't have thought about it at all. I wouldn't know what the answer. I'm trying to see if anyone makes a point of this. Okay, so I don't see anything here. Discuss this further. So the Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah that had described to us the halachas of selling a different Divrei Kedusha, you know, buying, selling a Sefer Torah to buy something else. So the Gemara says, Ibayilu ma'u limchor Sefer Torah yashan likeach bo chadash. Is a person allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah that's already starting to wear out to purchase a new Sefer Torah? Kevin de lo mali le aser, since you're not going up, and the Mishnah we learned that mal makodesh vein moridim, that you could go up. But let's say you're just staying the same. You're just, you know, you're buying one for a new one, but maybe it should be aser since you're not going up. You can't buy the Sefer Torah for a replacement. You can only buy it to go up in level. Ol dilma came to leka laluya ulaya achmina shapir dami. Or maybe since there's no other higher madriga you could get to, so you're stuck, so you're allowed to buy something of equal kedusha. That's the question the Gemara poses. Gemara brings a raya, tashma, aval machu, our Mishnah told us, machu Torah, a person may sell a Torah, lo yichu svarim, he's not allowed to buy svarim. Svarim, we said, we're referring to a nevim and ksuvim. Svarim, actually, no, we said it referred to, I think nevim and ksuvim. Okay. Svarim hudlo, you cannot buy a svarim from the proceeds of selling a Torah, but had the Torah, but Torah shop your, but you can sell a Torah to buy another Torah, that would be okay. And the Gemara says, shop your dami. Masis and David, so the Mishnah is talking about bidyevit. If you already sold it, what can you do with the money? But our question was, lichachila, can a person sell it in order to buy it? That was the shiloh of our Gemara above. For that, we have no proof. Our Mishnah, again, is only talking about bidyevit. If he already had sold it, what do you do with the money? Toshma, golden Sefer Torah, b'mat pechos, chumashim, you're allowed to wrap a Sefer Torah with the, what is it, mat pechos, or like a cloth, the coverings of the chumash. And chumash, we said, was, look at Rashi, two narrow lines down in Rashi, chumashim are defined as Sefer Torah she'ain bo ela chumash echad. You have a cloth of just the chumash, of just brachos alone, or just vayikra alone. So you could use the mat pechos of chumashim to tie a Sefer Torah, which includes all five books of the chumash. B'mat pechos ha-mevinevim, and chumashim b'mat pechos nevim k'suvim, and you could tie or wrap a cover, a chumash, with the coverings used for nevim and k'suvim. Aval lo nevim and k'suvim b'mat pechos chumashim, but the other way around, but you can't use the wrapping, the cover of a chumash, to be used for nevim, because that's going down value. It's misusing in the coverings. Lo chumashim b'mat pechos Sefer Torah, you can't use the coverings of Sefer Torah to wrap it around the chumash, that's going down in level. Tani Mias, what it does say is though, golden Sefer Torah b'mat pechos chumashim. So you can use the coverings of the chumash to cover the Sefer Torah, mat pechos chumashim in mat pechos Sefer Torah lo. You only have to use something of lower value of the chumash, but you can't use something of equal value. I can't use another Sefer Torah's covering to cover a different Sefer Torah. That would be not allowed according to the Gemara. I said, wait a second, that's not such a good deal. Aim a Sefer, look at the Sefer. The Sefer told us, lo chumashim b'mat pechos Sefer Torah. You can't use a Sefer Torah covering to cover a chumash. Pop Torah b'Torah shop b'dayim. But you can use it to cover another Torah. So you can make opposite diukim from the Reisha versus the Sefer. Ella mehal lekem yashmer minei. You can't learn anything out from this line of the Mishnah or Braisa because you have two opposite conclusions. So that's thrown out.
If you would be able to use Mastechot of Sefer Torah with Sefer Torah, we mean that you would sell one and buy another one.
Exactly. The Kedusha of Sefer Torah across the border are all equal. Then the Gemara attempts to bring a Braisa for the following. Tashma. Menichin Sefer Torah Agabe Torah. You could place a Sefer Torah on top of another Torah. So what does it mean Agabe Torah? So let's see where that Rashi is. There Rashi on this?
Rashi doesn't say. It's just physically. I mean, you put one on top of the other.
But it would have said Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah.
What?
It would have said Sefer Torah Agabe.
Menichin Sefer Torah Agabe Sefer Torah.
Oh, that's what it should be. That should be the Girsa.
Not the Girsa. This adds the article. Adds it like just.
Okay. You can place one Torah on top of another Torah. The Torah got the chumashim. You can place a Torah on top of a chumash. A chumash, we said, was a cloth simply of brachos alone, for example, just one of the books all by itself. Chumashim agavi nevim. You can place chumash on top of a navi. Ksuvim aval lo nevim and ksuvim agavi chumashim. But you can't do the opposite. Nach cannot be placed on top of a chumash. Lo chumashim agavi Torah. And you can't place a singular book of chumash on top of a Torah. Hanachas kamer. So therefore we see that you can place one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah. They're of equal Kedusha. So too, you could buy one to sell one to buy another one. Gemara says, Hanacha Kamras, so you're talking about Hanacha, you're comparing the Lachas of Hanacha to buying? Shiny Hanacha, de lefsher. There, by Hanacha, it's impossible. Because Dilo Temahachi, if you don't allow one Sefer Torah to be on top of another Sefer Torah, Heche Michrach, Heche Charninan, Ha Kayasu Dapa Achavre, How do you ever wrap together? How do you roll a Torah scroll? You always have one daf on top of another daf, one part of the Torah on top of another part of the Torah. Obviously, it wouldn't be possible to have a separate page. Everything is a separate page, ever leaning on each other without scrolling it up. And since it's impossible, Ela came to Efshar Shari, Hachanami came to Efshar Shari. And since it's impossible there, Hitiros, it's impossible. So what's the impossibility here, though? I understand why it's impossible by entire Sefer Torah where you roll it up, so it has to be that one daf lies on top of another daf. But why the case above, where you're placing one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah, why do we consider that a case of Delo Efshar? Is there a Rashi here? I'm not sure any...
Just a space constraints.
We don't have... And we have Aron Kodesh. We don't lie them one on top of the next. We stand them up and don't get into that problem.
Well, but we have a lot of room. We have to... All right. Here's
So that's how he says. So once we said it's permitted in case of impossibility, so we permitted across the board, even when it's possible in another way. We just said across the board, lo plug, it's permitted. Who's that?
This is Rabbi Abraham
Minahar. Okay, he's a Rishon. Okay. Interesting. Now this discussion becomes interesting when it comes to people placing svarim on top of the svarim or chumash on top of. Or let's say I have a sitter that has in the back of it some of the laning for the week, and I have another sitter that doesn't have any laning for the week. So if there's the one that has the chumash psukim, is it more kadosh than the one that doesn't? Or I have a sefer that has tehillim in the back and the one doesn't. Does that make the one with tehillim more kadosh? Well, every sitter has kriyashma in it. What about like chumash with translation in it? Is there a problem of the English and Hebrew being on top of each other, lying one on top of the next? So all these discussions exist in the poskim. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the only time these things are all relevant when it comes to klaf. Placing a chumash of klaf on top of a navi klach and an eicha klach.
Really, in Sforin, there's no...
That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. But Rosh Hashanah Zalman says the custom is not that way. We're makbid on all things, that one should never place a navi on top of a chumash or a siddur on top of a chumash. A very interesting discussion in the back here.
So let's say you have navi. Do you put it on top of a siddur which has chumash, or you don't?
So that these are interesting questions that not every scenario is spoken about. I'm not sure the answer to that. They don't discuss every scenario, but they talk about certain things here.
Right.
They quote a sefer called Beis Yecheska, who's not sure. His question was, you have a sefer, a sitter that has tehillim, and one that has only parts of Monday, Thursday readings of the Sefer Torah. One has a full set of tehillim, and one only has parts of the Chumash. They both have Shema. So these are interesting questions. I don't know. The Chazon Ish says that one's allowed to pile up Rishonim and Achronim on top of Gemaras. Those are all of equal Kedusha because they're all coming to explain the Gemara. They're all at the same level, even though some are later generations, and we think of the Rishonim, that Maram certainly, as holier or greater than the Rishonim, and the Rishonim were greater than the Achronim. So still, Chazon Ish says one could pile them up on top of each other in no order. There's a sefer that quote the Ginzei HaKodesh. He says there are many Achronim who are very makbid not to place Achronim and Rishonim on top of the Gemaras. So it's probably an interesting shir to give, an interesting topic. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara now continues. We're still trying to find a good raya about what the halacha is in regards to placing selling a Sefer Torah in order to purchase another one. Raisa Tashma. Damar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar B'Yocha. Yashan likach bo chadash. Person may not sell an old Sefer Torah in order to purchase a new one. So it's clear, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds one may not do this. The Gemara says hasa mishim pshusak. So that's when there's a pshusa. There's a concern that they may sell it and never end up buying a new one, and that's obviously going to be a big problem. So ki kaminan ki gon techasav emanich lefruke mai. We're talking about a case where there's a brand new Sefer Torah that's complete and ready to be purchased. Can we just swap? Take this old one, give it to the sofer, take the new one, and he could deal with the old one, he could fix it, he could do whatever he wants with it.
He said he would sell it and then order to somebody to write another one.
Right. That would definitely be a problem, because Pshusa. But when it already exists, a brand new written one, that's the question, can we substitute it?
It's interesting, because you would think that the other way is better, because you're causing a new sefer Torah to be written in the world.
Huh.
As opposed to,
Right, but I guess at the expense of never, if possible, not having it.
Not having it, yeah.
Right. Okay, Tashma. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Ein mochin sefer Torah, ela lilmo Torah, v'lisa isha. So the halacha is, Rabbi Meir says, the only thing you're allowed to sell sefer Torah for, and for two purposes, to learn, and in order to get married. Shema mina, Torah b'Torah, shapir dami. So we see that if you could sell to learn, you could sell to buy a new one also, it says. So, so I'm not quite sure why that is, but look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Ela lilmod Torah. This parnes bo kishlomei Torah. A person is in kolel and happens to have a sefer Torah he owns, and he can feed his family, so he's allowed to sell Torah to learn more. And the Gemara, for some reason, at this point, thinks it's the same in order to buy to support yourself to learn, and to buy a new sefer Torah would be of the same level. So that's what the Gemara initially thinks. The Gemara says, "What do you mean? That's not the same." Dilma shiny limud is shehalimud maybe lidemaisa. Maybe it's not true. Learning leads to maisa, to people doing actions, to doing maisa mitzvahs. And isha nami loso bara l'shavas yitzra. And also to marry a woman is a very big inyan. It's you're settling the world. It's a massive mitzvah involved in having children. About Torah, but Torah love. But when it comes to Torah for another Torah, that's not the same. Buying another sefer Torah is not going to directly help me do a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's not going to directly help me with anything. Yes, it's a mitzvah to own a sefer Torah. Everyone has a mitzvah to write their own sefer Torah, or if not, to have someone write one for them. So it's a nice thing, but it's not as big a thing as a limud haTorah, which causes people to do mitzvahs, and marriage, which helps continue the world. So therefore, there is no raya from here either. And it's also noget to goyim, we say. So the reason why that pasuk, I guess, would be brought is we're trying to show the greatness of it. Meaning, peru avru is a mitzvah that's given on the men and to Jewish men to have children. But the goal, peru avru, is this pasuk. This is a more global thing. So when it comes to women, women have no, and goyim have no maisa mitzvah peru avru necessarily, but they are being mekayim this grand idea of settling the world. So we do invoke the pasuk whenever it comes to this, that type of inyan of showing the greatness of it. I wonder if that's what I see the Gilyan Shas here. He points to the Gilyan Shas. He might be only what you said. He quotes a Gemara in Babasa, Chagiga, and Gittin. These are three big Tosasim that all discuss this halacha Puruvu and Lo Sovero L'Shavas Yitzra. He talks about why do you need both Pesukim, all those three places. Maybe he's going on to your point. Why is this Pasuk chosen as opposed to Puruvu? Could be that's what he's omitted on.
I think you're giving me too much credit.
Okay. Okay. Hold on a second. Okay, fine. So Gemara now says, by the way, the Gemara of the Zohar says, there are also these two mitzvahs are the only two reasons why a Kohen is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz is a Tumah Medirabanan. We say when a Kohen goes to Chutz La'aretz, there's Tumah Medirabanan there. Even though normally Kohen cannot be metame himself, even a Tumah Derabanan, he's allowed to when it comes to learning and when it comes to marrying, getting a wife. If he needs to go learn by a certain Rebbe, Chutz La'aretz, he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. If he needs to go Chutz La'aretz to marry someone, he's allowed to also. These are two very chashuv mitzvahs.
We still didn't answer the question.
We still did not. Well, right, exactly. We don't have an answer, and it seems like the discussion's over.
And that's it.
That is it, yeah. So,
Here's the thing.
We definitely said that the Yevid could do it.
The Yevid works, right.
Rambam paskush le'isur ve'kesef mishne katav she'mishum chomer kedushat sefer Torah hu she'pasak Rambam le'chumra u'retur shulchan aruch yuredea. Okay. So the Rambam and the Riv hold that you're not allowed.
And the Machmer because the Kedusha of Sefer Torah. Even though it's not Issa Deraisa, one would think maybe it's only Issa Derbanan and Safik Derbanan Lakula. They're Machmer because Kedusha is Sefer Torah. Okay. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa, Taner Abanan Lo Yimchar Adam Sefer Torah, Afa Pishin and Tsarchlo. Person cannot sell Sefer Torah even though he doesn't need it. So Rashi says, Shein Tsarchlo means Yeshlach, he already has a Sefer Torah. There's obligation in every single one of us. The very last mitzvah, according to Sefer Chinuch, last mitzvah of the Torah, I think it's agreed upon by everybody. Everyone has an obligation to write their own Sefer Torah. And one could also hire someone I actually once had a hobby to get a bunch of people and have shutvis and partners to in order to write a Sefer Torah together as a group of people. But Pesach Teshuva is not so into that. But there's an obligation for every single person to either write one or to hire someone to write a Sefer Torah. It's a big mitzvah. But let's say someone already has one. So he doesn't need a second one. He got one as a Yerusha, let's say. So he can sell it, even though he doesn't need it. He already even kind of the mitzvah. So Cain, Amar Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Afil Ein Lo Mayochal, even a person has nothing to eat. Umacha Sefer Torah, and he sells it to get food to feed his family. Oh, not the one guy Nicole, a guy who went out to make a panos and he just doesn't have enough. Oh, Bito, or what's Obito doing here?
The Bito Ktana Liyama.
Say it again. That
Bito Ktana as a slave.
So to sell, or he sells his daughter as Amma Ivria. So, because he needs a parnasa, ainul roa simin bracha li'olam. Person who either sells the Sefer Torah or sells his daughter does not see a simin bracha li'olam. And that's an amazing thing. We're putting the same level of selling a daughter, which would seem to be much worse than selling Sefer Torah, the same caliber and same severity, and both is ainul simin bracha. The Beis Yosef writes that this is usher to do. It's not only is ainul simin bracha, it's usher. So Taz says, I don't understand the Beis Yosef. You have a number of places in Shas, and you paskin yourself the Beis Yosef, where you write ainul simin bracha, but you don't say it's usher, you just say, okay, you're allowed to, but if you do it, it's ainul simin bracha. So, for example, comes up, I think, like Erev Pesach. What?
You're working on the Chol Moed.
Right.
Purim
doesn't come up. I know Erev Pesach comes up.
Tisha
B'Av comes up. Erev Pesach, Tisha B'Av, Chol Moed. These places come up. We say ainul simin, even Erev Shabbos, I think, it's ainul simin bracha. So we say it's mutter to do work, but you're not going to see any great bracha from these things. But there's no iser involved. Why here does the Beis Yosef write that there's an iser? So the Chassam Sofer writes because here it says Eino Simin Bracha Li'olam. Emphasis on Li'olam that tells us forever. It's always usher. Other places it just says Eino Roa Simin Bracha. That's not as emphasized. The word Li'olam really highlights the fact that it's even an iser involved here. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah of Vechein B'Mosrehem that any leftover, so let's say you sell something and you buy something new and there's some leftover funds, the same halachas apply, you cannot use it for something less than what the initial funds were used for. So for example, let's say you sell a Sefer Torah, that's a bad example, let's say you sell something in the middle, you sell shul to buy a Sefer Torah, so there's a lot more funds left over, shul costs a few $100,000, if not more, and the Sefer Torah is only $60,000 or so, you're going to have a lot more extra money to use. That also cannot be used for anything less than a shul. It has to buy a shul or something of higher level. So Gemara says, Amar Rava lo shanu elo shemachu vo siru. This is only true if you sell it and there's leftover. Ava gavu vo siru mutter. But let's say you collect funds for the shul and there's a lot leftovers. You only need $1 million to build the shul and you collect 1.2. So the extra $200,000 can be used towards something else. Asive. By asks the following question. Bamed v'amurim, when this is true, shall hisnu, when there's no stipulations made among each other. Val hisnu, if you make such a tanai, afil liduch susya mutter. So then you're even allowed to use it for duch susya. Duch susya doesn't sound like anything good. The Gemara will tell us what it means later on, apparently, Rashi tells us. But what's the case? Hechidami. Ilema shemachu vosiru. If it's a case where you sold the shul and you have leftover money, ki hisnu, my havi. So even when you make a stipulation, what good does that do? Apparently it doesn't help.
They still have
to do it. Right. Ella, it must be a case where you collected funds, and then there's leftovers. Time at the hisnu, only because you made such a stipulation that we say, let's collect funds, any surplus will be used for something else. Fine, but halo hisnu, lo. But if you did make a stipulation, you just said, we're collecting funds for the shul, and it happens to be leftovers, but you never made such a stipulation that realized if your money might be used for something other than the shul, you never made that stipulation, that would not work. So this seemed like would be a kasha then, that above we said, across the board, whenever there's leftover funds collected, you could use it whatever you want. Here the Brisa seems to indicate, only if a tanai was made does it work, but if no tanai was made, the leftovers, the surplus, wouldn't be allowed for something else. The Gemara says, lo. Liom shemachu revelsir. Really we're talking about a case where you sold the shul and there's a surplus. V'halchi kamar. B'med v'murim. When is it true that the surplus may not be used for something other than Kedusha? Shlo hisnu shiva tuveyair b'mamad an sha'ir. When the seven board of trustees never negotiated with the people, the congregation. Aval hisnu shiva tuveyair. But if they made a stipulation and they dealt with each other, negotiated with b'mamad an sha'ir, afil duchsosya nami mutter, then even to use it for the purpose of duchsosya, we'll see what that means in a little bit, even that's permitted. So again, when it comes to collecting funds, everybody agrees the surplus can be used for whatever you want. The only trial is, if you sell it, what to do with the surplus. So normally you can't do anything with the surplus unless they had a deal that they cut with the board of trustees and the congregation. So Amalei Abai says, Lahum Merabanan, Tavi Misadir Masisa Kamid Rav Sheshis. There was a certain Talmud who was a Misadir, he memorized all Mishnayos in front of Rav Sheshis. So he asks this certain Talmud, Mishmiya Lucha Mirav Sheshis, Mai Duchsusya. Did Rav Sheshis ever tell you what Duchsusya means? I don't know what Duchsusya means. It's a very strange word. Amalei Hachem Rav Sheshis, yes, I know Rav Sheshis told me that it means the following. Parsha Dimasa, that's what it means. Parsha Demasa means, look at Rashi, around 8 lines from the bottom. Parsha Demasa, B'nei Ha'ir, Sochen Adam Rochev Sus. They would hire someone who would ride a horse. Sheyehet Lahen, Mizuman, V'sholcha B'shlichus, L'moshel Ha'ir, Kishishtarach. He'd be the one, the messenger, who would go report back to send message to the governor, the mayor. So that was the Duchsusu, that was his job. So the point of the Gemara was saying that you could even, it wasn't such, I guess, the greatest job, so you could even use the surplus funds to hire such a guy. Amar Abaye says Hilchach Hay Tumer Mirabanan the Shamilei Milsav Lo Yada Pirusha Lishala Kame Dishreach Kame Mirabanan Delasha Delo Shamilei Min Gavra Rabba. So there's a certain, this is a nice thing for people to know. A Tamar Chacham who heard a word but doesn't know what it means, they should ask someone who had been frequented in front of a big Tamar Chacham, like this Talmud who's in front of Rosh Hashanah. So a Tamar Chacham could learn through a lot of things, but they don't know what every single word means. So, for example, I once saw one of my Rosh Hashivas in YU. You know, I think he was a little embarrassed when I saw him, but he was learning in the YU library. He was learning a Sansinu. So it was probably a little embarrassing when I saw him. I wasn't trying to catch him. But in the end of the day, no matter how big a Tamar Chacham you could be, there's just certain words we don't know. All the time the Gemara says, I don't know what that word means. There are psukim that the Gemara didn't know what the psukim meant. And they had to hear the Amma Ivriya, the Shivcha of Rebbe, to tell them what the word Salsala meant or Taltala meant, all these different words. We don't know all the words. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he's writing his book on grasshoppers, he didn't know what grasshoppers look like. So even Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who knows everything, well, he said, he told his daughter, go to the store and please buy me a picture book about grasshoppers so I know what grasshoppers look like. So there, of course, so if you don't know, go to someone who really sat in front of a massive Talmud Chacham. It's likely that he probably heard from this Rebbe what these things are. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, B'nei ha'ir shehalchu l'ir acheres, members of a city that went to a different city, u'paskal lehem tzedakah. So, and they paskal lehem tzedakah, they say people, I guess it's referring to a situation where they said everyone from the city has to give a certain amount to tzedakah. Is that the situation here?
The Gavaim told them that you have to give tzedakah.
Okay, they said them, or they said everyone has to give $2 today. Or maybe they said these particular people who came, you have to give tzedakah, so what's the halacha? No, so they should give the tzedakah. So I think it's talking about a case where they said everyone in the city has to give money. And these people were in the city for a few days. And everyone's giving a dollar to the tzedakah, and they're not. So they have to give, so no one's choshed them. So then the Gemara says, continuing on, Uchshen ban mevin osan iman umefarnesin ba aniya iran.
So what's the reason? It's just kedei shelo yichad shum keposkim tzedakah ve'inam matni.
Rashi explains they give it to the person, the gabbai in that city, so it looks like they're participating. People shouldn't be choshed. This one guy's not giving. And then as they leave, the Gabbai gives it back to them and distribute it to them.
Right. Because the obligations, the halacha is brought down to Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara of Basra, that a person's first obligation of tzedakah is to the anim of his own city. Oftentimes you find people collecting funds from Eretz Yisrael. They'll say, B'nei Yerushalayim Kodma to all cities. It's not true. Completely wrong. That B'nei Ircha is Kodem. Your own city, people living in Woodmere in five towns, comes before the city of Yerushalayim. Yes, once your city is taken care of, all the tzedakah, then the next thing is to go to Yerushalayim as opposed to going over to Queens. But your city is more important to help fund the tanim of your own city than Yerushalayim. Again, it's based on a misreading of the Ramah, but all posts can agree that your city comes before any other city, even Yerushalayim. Okay, now, would we go for a second? Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing. B'nei ha'ir shehalchu li'ir acheres, upaskal lehem tzedakah, and they say everyone from the city has to give a dollar, let's say. No sin, they're supposed to give a dollar also. Uchshem bon mevin also, when they leave, they ask the gabbai tzedakah for their money back so they could go give tzedakah to their own city. V'yachad shalach li'acher. If one individual goes by himself to another city, upaska alav tzedakah, say you have to give X amount of dollars. Tinasin la'ani osair, and he should give to the city, the people of his city. So I guess when it comes to Bnei Ha'ir, a number of people are traveling. They're going on a trip to Europe, and they do so. That's a lot of money that their own city is going to lose out on. But one individual, he gives tzedakah to the city he's visiting, and he doesn't give his own city. I guess that's not the biggest deal. The Gemara now has a Rav Huna, I guess. Is this Rav Huna? Probably Rav Huna. What other reshes do we have? So Rav Huna, Gazer Tanesa. He goes there to Tainis, for whatever particular reason, the Gemara doesn't tell us why. All Lagave Rav Chana Bar Chanilai. So Rav Chana came to visit him, V'chol Bnei Masya, and the entire members, a large number of the Bnei Ha'ir. Ramu Lai Tzedakah, V'yohiv. So they gave Tzedakah. Part of the Tainis would be giving Tzedakah is helpful. So kibay lemeise. So when they wanted to go back home, though, because this is the same lach, these are Bnei Ha'ir who are visiting. So when they wanted to go home, amrulei noson lamar v'nizel v'nefarnes ba'in aniyim aysim. Now give us back our money so we could go give money to the aniyim of our community. Amrulehen amrulehu. So I guess this is Rav Huna said back to them. Tanina, the Mishnah tells us, b'med v'amurim. When is this true that we return the money back to you? B'she'eno sham chavir ir. So, when Rashi tells us Chavir Yir is Tamil Chacham Hamisasek B'Tzarchet Tzibor, when there is no Tamil Chacham who's involved in Oskei Tzibor, so we really don't have the right to collect money from visitors. Aval Yesham Chavir Yir Tinasin Chavir. But when there's a Tamil Chacham, we give it to the Chavir Yir. So when we give it to the Chavir Yir, okay. So we can't return back to you the individuals. The only time we return back to the individuals who are visiting is when there's no Talmud Chacham. But if there's a Talmud Chacham who oversees your tzedakah funds in your city, we have to give to him, I guess, to make sure that the money goes to the right places. Because if we give to you guys, unfortunately, we can't really trust you guys that, well, you're going to take the money back and you're going to give it to tzedakah. There's money ready to get tzedakah funds on it. So we can only give it back to the Talmud Chacham of your city. The Kol Shekein Dani Didi B'Didchu Alai Semichi. And certainly... So this
Chacham is in the ear of the people who came to visit the original. You'll know where they are now.
These people from a different city came to visit the city of Rav Huna.
Right.
And they are collecting money for the certain tzara. And these visitors gave money to Rav Huna. Now they were leaving, wanted the money back to pay their city.
Right.
Rav Huna said, wait a second. We only can give you the money back if where you live, there's no Talmud Chacham who oversees it. So we give it back to you and we hope that you give it to the Aniyim.
Now he gives it to the Aniyim Chacham in Dallas.
Exactly. But he says, in this case, Rav Huna apparently... He was such a big Talmud Chacham. Not only was he on top of his own city, but he was also on top in charge of the tzedakah of the other city where these people were returning to. So I got to hold on to the money. I have got to disperse it to what I think is the best way. Okay, we have somewhat of a long daf Amun now, and we don't have that much time left. So Gemara says, Mishnah ain mochines shel rabim liyachid. A person can't sell. I did not do last time. Koshkin to Ani Didi Viditchu Alai Samichi. Certainly, in this case, where both the Anim of my city and the Anim of your city rely on me to pay the money, so I'm going to hold on to your money and I'll make sure that they get the money of your city. Says the new Mishnah, Ein Mochen Es Sharabim Liyachid, Mibdesh Maridin Osam Kedushasa, Divrei Rabbi Meir. You cannot sell a shul of Rabbim to a Yachid because it goes down in Kedusha. Amrlo. So the Tanakhama responds back to Rabbi Meir, Imkain af lo mi'ir gdola li'ir katana, according to reasoning, so maybe from a big populated city to a small populated city also, that's going to go down in Kedusha. If you're saying that quantity makes a difference from a tzibur to a yachid, here too also, so it sounds like he does permit you to sell, regardless, even from a rabbin to yachid. So Shapir kamile rabban le Rabbi Meir, says the Gemara. Rabban had a very nice response to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, mi'ir gdola li'ir katana, mi'kara kedisha hashanami kedisha. So no, Ramesh says there's a difference. When it comes to a shul of a large city versus a small city, both situations have a certain level of Kedusha, Kedusha's Sibor. But Mirabim liyachid lack a Kedusha. But Kedusha Rabim going down to a Yachid, a person has his own personal shul in his backyard, that doesn't have the same type of Kedusha. It's a completely different level. There's a clear understanding, clear distinction between these types of situations of a big city to a small city versus a Rabim to a Yachid. Rabbanan says, Ikel Mechash ki agavna, nam Ikel Mechash. Mishim Barov Am Hajj Melch. I disagree. Because the concept of Barov Am Hajj Melch, the more the merrier. So we have, there's also this concept will impact as well, the large city to small city. So I'm not sure exactly the Nekudas Machlokas here, but it may seem to be an issue of quantity versus quality. Chacham is all about quantity. you know, from 1 to 10 people, it's no different than 10 to 20 people. It's all quantity. And Reb Meir thinks that no, if there's anything less than a tzibur, the quality of the Kedusha is completely less, much lesser level of quality of Kedusha than there is if there's more than 10. Between 10 and 20, that's the quality is not so different. That's what it seems to be arguing about. The Mishnah tells us now, the new one, Ein Mochen Besa Knesses Ela Al Tanai. You're only allowed to sell a shul on the condition she'im yirtu yachziru divrei Reb Meir, that if you want, I have the option of always buying it back. So Chachamim Omrim Mochen Oso Memchor Olam, not true. You could sell it for whatever you want. You could sell it as a complete sale without having such an option. Chutz Me'arba Dvarim, you just cannot sell it for the four following purposes. You can't sell it to be a merchatz, a bathhouse, the burski, a tanning, a leather tanning place, which smelled terrible, the tefillah, a place of tefillah, and Beis HaMayim, and a place of Beis HaMayim, it's a wash clothing, a laundromat, it can't be sold either. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mochen Oso L'Shem Chatzer, Alokeach Mashir to Yasser. Rabbi Yehuda said you could sell it for the purpose of a courtyard, and the person who buys it could do whatever he wants with it. So just don't ask what he's doing with it. Sell it as a chatzer, and the guy could do whatever he wants with it.
We learned that you can only sell it for Beta Knesset for something
higher. We're speaking about what to use the money for. Now, the money that you buy, that you sell it for.
We just learned before that you can only sell it for something higher.
No, we said if I sell a Beta Knesset, as the money I get from selling it, what can I use the money for? That I have to go up in value. I have to buy a Sefer Torah. The actual building, we're talking about the building, what to do with the building that has been sold. So this mission actually is a Hashaila.
Once you sold it, the person who buys it, what he can do it. Right.
There's actually a Hashaila based on this mission. The mission says you cannot sell a shul for a base tefillah. So we see base tefillah is something, although the wonderful things happen there, it's a place people come to her, it's still a place where people are not dressed properly, and it's a lazuma there. So could you have a base tefillah in a shul? Is that permitted to have a base tefillah? It seems to be bizarre to the base knesses. So these are discussions in the poskim. So the Gemara says, the right mayor, Hechi Dairi Bey. So how could you live in such a shul? Let's say you buy the shul, and now you're using it as a house. So how could you live in it? Hahavile Ribbis, it's Ribbis, because what's going to happen is, so now you return the shul back to the people say, you know what, our community is growing, we need the shul back. So they return the money to you. So I basically, I say I bought the shul, I paid them $500,000 for the shul. And they give me the money back. So it's basically a loan, I gave them the loan. In addition, I live there.
Right,
so I got the ribbons, I got the extra hana of living in this shul for 2 years, and I get my loan back also. That's collecting interest from a Jewish organization. So why is that permitted? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yochanan Amar. He held like Rabbi Yochanan. No, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar is Tzad Echad Ribbis Mutter. When there's Tzad Echad, it's Mutter. What's Tzad Echad mean? Tzad Echad means, if let's say there are two options in loaning the money. One option is no ribbis. One option, there is ribbis, it's mutter. Meaning, ribbis is only usher when there's vade going to be ribbis, where there's vade going to be interest. When I lend money, and you have to pay me back with interest, that's vade ribbis. Let's say this case, they may never came back to me. They maybe wanted to sell the shul forever. I never would have to return the money to them. That would be tzadech and mutter. There's an option that I'll never have to return the money. It will never be a loan of ribbis. Although there's another option that they may want the money back, or might return the money, rather, and that would turn to ribbis. If it's tzad echad that it won't turn to ribbis, there's such an option that ribbis will never happen, then that would be permitted. Even though it amounts to ribbis.
Well, you can also say that it's against the benefit of them having the option to buy.
It's against the benefit of having them...
Meaning the fact that they have an option to buy it back, it could also be considered... It also has a value. So that value... Okay, nowadays, when you buy an option in the stock market, it costs you money.
Right.
So this is like buying an option against you sleeping there, maybe.
Okay. Interesting. But I guess the point, the mission is not viewing that as a value. The options have value.
No, that's not their answer. Right. Nowadays, that options have values.
Right.
You could say, listen,
All right. So Ribbis is a very complicated subject, which I never learned, and one day I hope to, but I haven't done it yet. Okay, so the Gemara says,
it's just interesting, I don't understand why they call it Tzad Echad Beribis. It seems that it has no relation to that word.
Tzad Echad, no, because there's one side, one approach you could take, one option is that...
it's one approach, not that one of the two sides.
Right, well, exactly, one approach is if they never go back in the sale, so it's a sale, it's not ribis.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, the Tanya, where do you see such a concept? So I want to collect $100. Someone owes me, Adam owes me $100. I collect the money from him. Asal sadeu mechar. So I sell him a land. Bizman shemocher ochel peros. So then during the time of selling it, I eat the fruit. Mocher ochel peros mutter, lokeach ochel peros aser. So what's the situation here? So again, the lova gives the malva. So Adam, who owes me money, gives me a sada. And he says, if he doesn't pay me back, I get to keep the field. Now, during the time where I have this mashon of the field, so the mocher, who is Adam, who owes me money, is selling. He's out to eat the fruit because let's say he pays me back the money. So fine, it was his field the whole time. But I can eat the fruit because let's say he ends up paying me back the money. So I return the field back to him, and I got an extra hana of eating the fruit in the past few months while he's waiting for payment. So not only did he return the money to me, but I also got the interest of eating the fruit in the interim. So it's also for me, the lokeach, or I'm really the lender, to eat the fruit. So that's according to the Tanakhama. Behuda Omer, afilu halokeach ochel peres mutter. Even I'm the purchaser, I'm allowed to eat the fruit. Why? But if he returns the money to me, I got to return the land. I collected interest of eating the fruit on top of the loan. Because the halach is, because this is tzadach and mutter, because if he didn't pay back the money by the time it was up, then I get to keep the land, it wouldn't be ribbis. So Avamar Rabbi Huda says further, Ma'isa b'baitus ben zonan, she'asa sadeo mecher api Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. He did this. Lokeach ochel peros. Haya. And the purchaser, the lender, was eating the fruit. Even though there's a possibility that the lender, the borrower, will return the money, it'll be ribbis, he permitted this. Amulov Misham Rai, you're going to bring me a proof from that story. Mochel peres haya. Lolokeach, you got the story wrong. It's actually the seller, the borrower was the one who's eating fruit from his own land. He was, but the one who lent the money was not. So we don't pass in that way.
The other way around. The lender was the one who was having.
No, the borrower.
But the borrower was
he having. Adam, who owes me money, gave me the field as a mashkon. So I'm not allowed to eat it. The Gemara says, I'm not allowed to eat it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He is the one. It gets confusing with all the terms.
The seller, the borrower.
Right, because he's possibly selling the land to me. Right, it's very confusing, the terms.
Okay, yeah.
Gemara says, my benayu. So what's the difference between the two opinions? Tzad echad, ribis, ikibana. That's machlokas about tzad echad. That very discussion above is what they're arguing about, whether that's true. Mar savar tzad echad, ribis mutter. Mar savar tzad echad, ribis aser. Again, that's machlokas. Rav Amar, no. Rav says, everyone agrees if there's one side, even though there's one option where it may not turn into ribis, it's still going to be aser. They're arguing about a case of ribis where I'll return the money. I guess the case is where he says, okay, fine, now that you pay me back the money and the land goes back to you, I will pay you back all the fruit that I ate in the interim. So is that paying back for the interest, is that going to be aser or not? So one opinion thinks it's not aser, I'll just pay back the interest and then everything's going to be okay. The other opinion says, no, once I collect ribbis, even though I'm going to return the ribbis, that's still going to be a problem. That's the debate above. Okay, the Gemara says further now, Chachamim Omrim, 47, we still have a few minutes. Chachamim Omrim, Mochen Oso Memkar Olam. Chachamim thought that you're allowed to sell it, there's no need for stipulation, you could sell a Beis Knesset for eternally. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Shmuel, Mutter Le'adim Lahashin Mayim B'soch Dal Amos Shatrila. Not sure with the discussions here now, because the Mishnah said you can't sell for four things. He talks about Kavod Beis Knesset. So a person is not allowed to go to the bathroom within four Amos of Davening. So Rashi tells us La'achar Zman. What it means is not the place where you daven, rather four Amos of the time it takes to work four Amos, let's say 10 seconds. A person has to wait 10 seconds after Davening before going to the bathroom. Rav Yosef, Mike Mashman, what's this coming to teach us? Tanina, we have a mission that tells us this. Behuda Omer, Mochan Osal Lishum Chatzir Lokeach Mashirza Yasa. That Rav Yehuda held that you're allowed to sell the shul for whatever purpose you wanted. You can sell it for Chatzir, and the purchaser could do whatever he wants with this. And Chavman said it's only true, they only limited it when it came to a Beis Knesset Kavua. But a person who davens, he's walking along the way, he's traveling, he needs to stop off of the car and daven on the side of the road. So that's not a kvius in Kedusha. Even their Chacham will agree there's no Kedusha, and even they'll agree it's mutter. What's the Chiddush? Okay, the Gemara says, Tani Kami de Rav Nachman, HaMispala Marchik Dal Amos Umashin. Person who davens should distance himself Dal Amos, HaMispala, then he should daven after distancing from where he davened. Tanina, that's also a Mishnah, I skipped a line there. All right, so again, after a person davens, he should distance himself Dal Amos and go to the bathroom. Alternatively, person goes to the bathroom, should merchok dal amos, distance himself from where he went to the bathroom, umispal. There should always be a separation of dal amos from where he davens and where he goes to the bathroom. So amrle bishma hamashin merchok dal amos mispalo. I understand why after a person goes to the bathroom, he should separate dal amos and then daven. Tanina, the Mishnah tells us, kama yarchik mehem, umnatsoa dal amos. How much does a person have to separate from meraglaim and soa? He has to separate for amos to daven. El amispalo merchok dal amos mashin lamrle. Why, when a person finishes davening, the kaddush is over, he davened already, why does he have to distance himself dal amos before going to the bathroom? The Gemara says, "I hachi kaddushasayu kulechul shvilah dinardai." People are always traveling and all along the paths of Nardai, and they're always davening on the side of the roads. So you're telling me the entire paths of Nardai are full of kaddusha, and you can't go to the bathroom anywhere there? So the Gemara says, "Tane yishe." It doesn't mean the place of davening. It's like we said above; it refers to waiting. Wait for, wait dal amos. Wait a few seconds, and then you should go to the bathroom. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam mashin yishek kedei hilach dal amos mishim nitotus."
But he cannot. He cannot wait and do it in the same place that he davened.
According to this, it sounds like he can.
I think it's the time it takes to walk for amos.
Uh-huh. No, it does take. Right, exactly. He can go to the bathroom where he just davened. He has to just wait 10 seconds, for example. And then he could go to the bathroom where he just davened, because he's not talking about it in base Knesset. We're talking about somewhere on the streets. So Gemara says, "Bishma, I understand that mashin, a person who urinates, yishek kidei hilach dal amos mishuni totus. Hishwe dal amos, there's nothing left coming out. Ela mispal yishek kidei hilach damos, yishek kidei hilach dal amos." But after the person goes davens, why does he have to wait dal amos before going to the bathroom? Lomeli. Samar Rav Ashi, shekol dal amos tfilaso sedur mepiver. After the person davens, he's still kind of mumbling the words of his mouth. He's still in the game of tefillah, so therefore he has to wait. Let dal amos, the Maran Bracha talks about the Hasidim Yishonim, would wait an hour after davening. They have to come back down to earth and to get back in the Olam Hazeh. So for them, so for us, who are not on the level, we need dal amos. We need 10 seconds to get back into Olam Hazeh. So that's why we wait. Zalfin Simim, we have the mnemonic now. We still have 4 minutes. Gemara talks about Shalu Tamidavas Rabbi Zakai, but Meharach Yomim. They asked Rabbi Zakai, "What exactly? What do you do that you're zochet to long years?" Amr Lehemi, my lohi shtani maim besoch dal amos shetvila. I never went to the bathroom within dal amos. Either means within the makom or means within davening. If 10 seconds of davening. Lo kinisi shem lechavera. I never called a nickname to my friend, even a good nickname. I always call them by their real name. Lo bitalti kiddush hayom, I never wasted kiddush yom, referring to kiddush on Shabbos. Ima zakena hayisali, I had a very old mother. Pam achas macha kippa shibrosha vehivia li kiddush hayom. And one time she sold her head covering in order to buy me kiddush hayom. That's how far me and my mother went to mean kind of din of kiddush hayom. Tana the Brisa tells us kishemesa, when she had died, hanicha lo gimel meos garbi yain, she left over 300 mounts of wine for kiddush hayom. That's how chashiv she thought it was also. Kishmeis, who, when he died, he niach levanim shloshes alafim garviyan, and he left over 3,000. So he obviously was very nervous about this concept. It's like a person who made so much money in his lifetime. He was like young, had no money. He built up this whole massive thing, and you find out when he died, he had $10 million in his bank account, which he never used because he was so nervous about losing all the money. So this, I guess, apparently happened to Rav Zakai. He saved up all this wine for his children. Rav Huna, have a aser resa. Have a aser resa. What does have a aser resa mean? He would min gemim. He's some type of gartel he wore.
Yeah,
so but he had to use like a makeshift gartel. It wasn't like a typical.
Where it was from.
Gemi, some type of tar or.
Aesef is, I guess, from grass. Something that grows.
Nothing so chashiv. Kakami dirav amalei, my high. What are you wearing around your belt? What kind of belt? What kind of grass belt are you wearing? Made of weeds. So Amalei lo havali kiddusha. I didn't have kiddush. U mashkante lehem manayu, and I gave as a mashkon my gartel for some wine. Vasa be kiddusha, so I could have wine for kiddush. Amalei, so he says back. Hirua hiratzon the titum bisarai. You should close your coat properly, and I guess close the rashi. Close it properly. Have a proper belt. Ki ichlel Ki Ichlal, when he went to the Ki Ichlal Rabba Bar Rei Rafuna, when he got married, Rashi says that he got married, Inish Guta Hava Gana Apurya. Did Inish Guta was a guy, a hunchback that they're referring to?
Adam Guts Namuch, a short guy.
Yeah, a short guy, okay. Hava Gana Apurya, he was standing on the bed or something.
Yeah,
sleeping in the bed?
Yes, he was sleeping in the bed.
Asya Bante, so came along his daughters, Vakalse and the Kala, Shalchim Vishad Binayu Alea, they what, threw things on top of him?
Atim Bisurai? They took the clothing and put them on him.
Uh-huh, they covered him up.
Yeah.
Okay. Shema Rav heard this?
No, Ad the Itum Bashirin. Shekulo it Hase. That was totally covered with the clothing.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that what the bracha that he got, uh-huh, it really happened.
With all the clothing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Shema Rav heard that his bracha was niskayim. Vikpad, he was upset at Rav Huna. Amar, so he said, my time lo amarti li kein kubrachticha. V'chein lamar. So why don't you say v'chein lamar? You should say v'chein lamar. Just like, I see your bracha worked, so you should respond to v'chein lamar. So I could also get the bracha. So maybe we'll stop here at 6:55 and then we'll pick up tomorrow. Okay.
Okay, we did it, man. Okay, good.